First up in this hour, in a week when there was so much going on in the world, Brooklyn Beckham publicly cutting himself off from his family still garnered a lot of coverage. Not sure about Brooklyn's case, whether it's just like, you know, him being a brat. But for some people, their parents or their adult children are so toxic, they feel they've left, they're left with no other choice but to completely cut them out of their lives. Now, for some, it's a very difficult thing to do, but other people feel relieved and free after they've made the move. But should you leave it at that or try to reconcile? Lovely to welcome back consultant clinical psychologist Dr. Claire Hayes, my first time talking to you in 2026. Claire, how are you?
Absolutely, Maria. I'm great, and happy new year to you and your listeners.
Happy new year to you too. Now, this business of, because family is family, but I presume some people are right to either cut their toxic children out of their lives, even for a period of time, or for a child, an adult child, to cut their parents and their families out of their lives, that sometimes that's the only thing to do.
You know, it's really hard, Maria. Like, just looking at the coverage, not just Brooklyn, I can't even say the name, Brooklyn Beckham, but, you know, so many other high profile people who have their lives just played out in the media over the last number of years. We can see how hard it is. And then when there are families, maybe families we know, families close to us, the pain that people experience going through this is just phenomenal. So I don't think there is a kind of one answer fits all. You know, some people might take a break, might cut people off, but we'd always hope that there is some way of reconciling. And thinking about this, I was thinking of, similar to the way I think about grief, that there's two ways of looking on it, at it all, a nurturing moment and a teaching moment. So for people who have been bereaved, that's the time for them to experience nurture. That's not the time to say, and particularly to children who experience grief, that's not the time to say, well, you know, everybody's going to die. You know, that's not actually helpful. You know, well, you've just buried whoever, you know, they're going to die, next person going to die, and the next and the next. We nurture them and we hope that they nurture themselves. But for everybody else, it can be a real massive learning opportunity. So kind of a wake up call for us that, oh my goodness, you know, actually young people can die, older people can die unprepared, and so on. So when we come to family relationships, I don't think it's a coincidence that we're talking about this in January, because the pressure, as we've talked about before, in December for families to build up to have the really happy, happy, happy Christmas with families, adult children coming back to visit, maybe with their children, next generation being involved. And then there might be too much alcohol involved, and old resentments, childhood resentments can come to the forefront. And it might be that somebody says, I'm out of here. I've had enough. Maybe words were spoken that are very, very hurtful for the people who have experienced them. And there's a sense of the only way out of this is, as you suggested, Maria, just cut it off. But I don't think that's the only way. And there's an organization I came across, a charity called Stand Alone. It's a UK charity, and it was set up a number of years ago as a result of one lady, Becca Bland, writing her story, which was published in The Guardian around 2013. And she talked about how she had just absolutely cut her family off and was very, very, very isolated. And she used the term estrangement. And as a result of her article, this charity was developed, Stand Alone, and they've done a lot of research. They have support groups to support people who are estranged from their families, both sides, you know, young people and older people. But they did research which showed that one in five families are impacted by this. I mean, that's staggering.
Yeah. And I presume there's kind of two different, or more than two, I'd say, of this type of thing, is that if you're an adult child who's cut themselves off from their parent because your parents were just horrible, like they actually were toxic, they made you feel awful about yourself, they were cruel, they were neglectful, whatever it, you know, actually manifested. And then on the other side, which I suspect is the case in Brooklyn Beckham's case, that there's a certain lack of maturity here. Like, no, that as you get older, you understand maybe why your parents did what they did, or the decisions that they made, or what they were going through at a particular time. And it gives you a better understanding with that maturity that he doesn't seem to have yet, because he didn't even acknowledge any gratitude to his parents in the statement that he made. And he certainly wouldn't have met your woman if he wasn't who he was. But you know that there's... You know, you can evolve in a way because you grow up a bit more than you were when you thought, the only thing I can do is cut them off because they're mean.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know anything about the Beckhams, so I can't comment on their case individually, as I know you can't. But it's a learning moment for us. So that's where my kind of learning, nurturing. I'd hope that the Beckhams are getting plenty of nurturing. But for the rest of us, we really can learn. And one of the concerns I have is that this will suddenly become a thing that's acceptable for young people, older people, that rather than working through difficulties, conflict is normal, part and parcel of life. It's healthy. We're all different, so we're not all going to agree with everybody. We'll have different perspectives. And being able to have a squabble and talk about it afterwards and apologize and learn and do our best again and move on is so important. So this sense of, well, if somebody doesn't agree with you, or if somebody's not, you know, you're not happy with someone, you cut them off. Now, that is, of course, different from what you were saying about people who do grow up in families where there's abuse, for instance. But when I worked in the area of child sexual abuse many years ago, there was a view then that children were better off away. So if they'd been abused by one parent and that parent went to prison, for instance, that child was completely better to never, ever, ever have any contact with that parent again. But actually, that wasn't the case. So a lot of work was done with children, and I'm sure is still being done with children who have had really difficult experiences with parents, to help bridge it, to help so that the child knows, grows up knowing who the parent is. Absolutely, they're protected from further abuse. But the idea of cutting off and moving on tends not to work, because, you know, they can bring all of the upset, the resentment with them. So there is a book I read many years ago that I used to use in my teaching, Difficult Conversations by Stone and Stone. And it was written from the perspective that one person has their story and they're right. From their perspective, they're right. And everyone else is wrong. They're right. And then the other person has their story and they're right. And then the third person, the journalist, comes along, the neutral person, and can see the rightness in both stories, but has a much more neutral perspective. And that's where therapy can be really helpful for people. I don't know if you're watching The Late Late Show last night, Maria, but I saw a bit of it and I was really struck by comedian John Bishop talking about a point in his life where he was going through a divorce. His soon-to-be ex-wife and himself were at the point where they could no longer communicate at all to each other. And he was doing a comedy gig somewhere, didn't realize that she was there. She didn't know he was a comedian. And she came up to him afterwards and said, you know, you really surprised me there. And he said something like, you know, well, how or whatever. And she said, you were funny and you used to be funny. And and this is that I just saw a glimpse of the man I fell in love with. And they both realized that they didn't want to end the relationship, and they got help. Got professional help, and many years later they're together. And anyway, I'm not promoting his film, I'm not promoting his film, but I was really struck by, you know, the cutting off can be very final. And certainly I've worked with people, and I'm really privileged to do what I do, but I've worked with elderly, in quotes, you know, parents maybe in their 70s and young people in maybe their 40s, 50s, around improving the communication and maybe looking at hurts that they experienced. There could be different perceptions. Parents can dismiss something and say, oh, sure, that's not a big deal. Young people can take it, well, it was actually really serious. And the other way around, young people can say things that are very hurtful. So sometimes the extreme might be, yes, to cut them off. But I suppose I'd always like to think that there's a way through it, a way we can learn, a way we can build, particularly for the next generation. You know, I'm sure everybody listening knows somebody who has done this, who has cut themselves off in their families. And it's not just one person is affected, you know, the next generation and maybe the generation after that. So relationships definitely suffer as a result of it all.
Okay. And I suppose the thing about it is it's all about hurt, isn't it? Like anytime we talk about anything like this on shows like this or any kind of talk shows, you'll always get a text from somebody who, like, and they could be in their 70s or their 80s, who were hurt by a parent, and it has blighted their entire lives. They've never been able to just put it behind them or draw a line under it or whatever. It's still to this day affects them. And that's terrible that it would have that effect on you for your entire life, something that happened in your childhood.
Absolutely. I don't know anything about carpentry, but I'd imagine a skilled carpenter, you know, the basic tools, a hammer and a nail and a piece of wood. The basic tools for me in my work is helping people understand it's not what happened, it's the meaning of what happened. Helping people take individual responsibility for themselves, for their own well-being, and that it's not about suddenly feeling better, feeling happy. So the fight-flight reaction that we have is we can tend to avoid things that cause us pain, because that's what we do. Mm. So having a conversation with someone we've fallen out with can be extremely painful. So we might feel worse. There's no guarantee the other person will listen or will want to listen. But by continuing to avoid, it can be hard. And you were saying about, you know, maturity. Adolescence, as we know, is a time for people to develop, for families to change, to separate out a bit. The dynamic changes, new people come into their lives. And it's really important for young people to establish their own identity separate from whoever the person is. And that can be very, very uncomfortable. Mm. So there can be a sense of we all want to do what makes us feel better. So some people turn to alcohol or sugar or relationships or hiding or whatever it is. So I think this is a great example, Maria, again, of where actually the way to, in quotes, feel better eventually is to feel worse in the short term.
Yeah.
So if some of your listeners have had a difficult conversation in the past, they're carrying a lot of hurt, a lot of resentment, for them to talk to somebody they trust, whether it's somebody in their own family or whether it's writing a letter to the person, they might send it, they might not, but not carrying all of that hurt. I mean, tragically, too many people wake up after somebody has died and say, I wish I had.
You can't do anything about it then.
You can't do anything about it then.
Claire, thanks a million for talking to me. I really enjoyed that. Thanks for the chat.
So welcome, Maria. Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye. That is Dr. Claire Hayes, their consultant clinical psychologist.